This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
It's no secret that Dublin City Council wants private cars out of the city centre.
I'd like to see a city where I can walk unfettered by large numbers of cars from Grafton Street up to Parnell Street.
That's Richard Shakespeare, the City Council CEO. The capital's new transport plan aims to reduce private car traffic by 40%, so nearly half of the cars in the city today will be gone. The plan kicks in August, when motorists will be banned from sections of the quays, and there are other measures too.
So what it is a public transport only zone. On the North Quays, at Bachelor's Walk, then the other side of the river, the South Quays, at Aston Quay.
While the changes should improve access for public transport users and cyclists, not everyone is in favour.
I think motorists might have been hoping for a more receptive ear in Richard Shakespeare, but he's made it clear in saying that people have to wake up, particularly to the climate change issue.
This is In the News from the Irish Times. I'm Bernice Harrison. Today, public transport only zones are on the way. How will they affect your journey? Olivia Kelly, you are the Irish Times Dublin editor, and I think anyone who moves through the city will be aware of the many changes over the last few years. More streets have been pedestrianised, there's less on-street parking, and what there is very expensive. Bus routes have changed, road layouts have been changed, there's more cycle lanes, and I think it can seem piecemeal, but in fact, there is a new Dublin City transport plan. What is it?
There is, yeah. So this isn't the first Dublin City Centre transport plan. They had one back in 2016 and they needed that to make the road changes for the Lewis coming in. This is the Lewis Cross City to join up the green and red lines, and we have that now. Now we have, of course, more things coming down the line. We have Bus Connects and we have the Metrolink. Now, the Metrolink will be in a while, but we need to start doing that preparation work now. But also we have climate change. And one of the big things in the city development plan that came in 2022, so it lasts from 2022 to 2028, there was a mandate that the councillors gave the officials that we need to reduce the amount of private cars in the city centre by 40%. So that is another imperative. Now, what the city council has decided it's doing with this plan, it's looked at the way motorists are using the city centre. And a lot of motorists, when I say the city centre, I'm talking about the core of the city centre. I'm talking about an area that radiates out from O'Connell Bridge. The quays really are what I'm talking about. And what the council realised were a lot of motorists who were in the city centre, and they've cameras everywhere, so they're monitoring this. They were using it not to get to the city centre, not to come in and park in a car park, or park in a parking space and do their shopping or go to work or whatever else people do in the city centre. They were actually using it as a route through, and that was 60% of motorists, wow. A really, really high proportion. So they decided, well, if people could take alternative routes, and there are alternative routes, well, that would leave the city centre freer for motorists who actually need to get in there, and it would help us reduce that amount of cars. So that's what this new strategy is aiming to do.
Now, we're talking to you today, Olivia. We've asked you to come into the studio because there is a new bus gate on two sections of the quays. What's that about?
Okay, so this is one of the elements in the plan, and it's the first, I would say they're the most likely impactful elements, and they are actually the first to come in. Now, people will, you know, often roll their eyes at plans and strategies and policies and think, oh, well, yeah, they say that, but is it going to happen? And the council have given a commitment, and the Minister for Transport, Eamon Ryan, has backed this up, saying, yes, these will come in and they'll come in this summer. Now, when people say, well, what's a bus gate? So basically, they came up with this word for back in 2009 in College Green, they introduced a bus gate.
That's a disastrous bus gate, by the way.
It was a timed bus gate at that stage. It's now 24 hours. So tell me, what's your issue with it before we move on to the quays?
Because it shares a huge section of the road with the Lewis.
Yeah, but what can you do? Only remove the buses, and that will happen.
So it's not a bus gate, it's a bus slash Lewis gate.
Well, no, it's not, because
the
Lewis...
And this is where I think people get confused.
The Lewis doesn't run through it. The bus gate, the Lewis runs on a different axis. So the Lewis runs in front of Trinity.
But there's a pinch point.
And the bus gate comes before that.
There is a pinch point, though.
Yes, so it was a compromise, really. Basically, they were going to have the Lewis running through, but they weren't yet prepared to take buses out of College Green. Mm. Now, that is happening as part of Bus Connects. Mm. And eventually, we'll have the plaza in College Green. That plaza is going to go right the way down to Georgia Street. So it's going to be vast.
So yes, that's gate, different though, to... Okay, so a bus gate...
Bus gate is a misnomer. Mm. They call it a bus gate. What it really is a public transport only area.
Under taxis?
Now, under our legislation, public transport does include taxis. So it's taxis and buses. You know, if there was a Lewis on the quays, it would include the Lewis. So we have buses and taxis and, of course, cyclists, pedestrians can also go through this. So what it is a public transport only zone. So that will be on, as you say, on the North Quays at Bachelor's Walk, then the other side of the river, the South Quays at Aston Quay. Now, there's been a lot of misinformation about this. One of the things people are saying how will everyone, it's the people who don't like it are saying, how will people get to hospitals? So how will anyone from the south side get to the Rotunda Hospital? You can still cross O'Connor Bridge. It doesn't, the bus gate in Aston Quay doesn't stop you doing that. So if you're coming up the South Quays from the direction of Tara Street, say, you can still take that right-hand turn from the South Quays onto O'Connor Bridge and drive up O'Connor Street. This isn't affecting it at all. All it's affecting essentially is through traffic going east and west. So going east if you're on the North Quays, going west if you're on the south side.
I remember in your first reports in this, there was mention of Guinness, the Diageo trucks, because what happens now is, and just for listeners who maybe are not so familiar, St. James's Gate is up at the Houston end of the Quays, the Houston station, the train station up that end of the Quays. And Guinness have these great big shiny tankers, and they come right down the quays from James's Gate down to the port. So now, with this new bus gate, they will not be able to do that.
There is a sticking point with the Guinness lorries, because in almost all cases, for your private motorists, the quays are not the fastest way to get anywhere. Like, you know, I've done tests all over the city. You are better off using another route already than using the quays, because the quays are quite congested. So unless you're actually already in a car on the quays, it's not going to be your fastest way to get anywhere. That could be true as well for the Guinness lorries. But at the same time, the issue with the Guinness lorries is, yes, they could go another route. But do we really want those Guinness lorries going through residential areas?
No, but that has been a row. So what's the upshot? Who's won? Like, are Diageo trucks there? Are they going to have to go down, take a left out of James's Gate and go down the main roads and then Port Tunnel and so on, the M50 and the Port Tunnel?
I think that is what the council would have liked them to do. So the council would have said, yes, you go out, the chapel is a bypass, you get onto the M50, that brings you around to the port tunnel, that's your route to the port. Diageo don't want to do this because they say it's time and it's money, it's petrol. Now, you could say, well, Diageo, you've said you're converting over to electric vehicles. But, you know, they still don't want to do it. It's an ongoing process. Now, these bus gates are, you know, public transport only zones, I suppose we should call them. They're coming in August. So Diageo have a few months of negotiations with the council ahead of them. The problem is, say you say to Guinness, yeah, okay, we'll give you permission to use the quays, not during, you know, normal hours, though it'll have to be, say, from, you know, 7 to 9 in the evening. Well, then everyone else is going to put their hand up who has a business in the city and say, no, where's my permit? Where's my permit to use the quays? So it could turn into a timed bus gate, as the one in College Green we spoke about earlier was previously. Now it's 24 hours, but it was a 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. bus gate. it may turn out to be something like that initially.
Do you think that's likely when you talk to councillors? Do you think that's...
Yeah, I think it could happen. It's a watered down version of what the city council is going to do. And obviously, if you start watering something down in terms of the hours or permits for people, then everyone else is going to chance their arm. It's easier to enforce something that's a full-time 24-hour ban than something that's timed. Like, you'll see that with people parking in cycle lanes or bus lanes. It's far easier to enforce something if it's full time.
Well, now, every time a route is changed, every time traffic can't go down a particular road, that has knock-on effects. And so if Aston Quay is becoming a bus gate only for public vehicles, and if Bachelor's Walk the same, obviously the traffic is just not going to disappear by 40%. The traffic is going to go somewhere.
Yeah.
So what are the knock-on implications for that?
Well, there are councillors who would have concerns about that in their area, particularly, say, councillors representing people in Stonybatter, because if you think about it, if you're coming up the North Quays and you suddenly realise, oh, I can't keep going all the way into town, I'll have to turn, most of your turns are going to be into Stonybatter. So that is a concern.
Now, and they are very small
roads. Yeah, they are. They are. Now, there is a phenomenon of, they like to call it the people who are... who are pro these sorts of measures would call it evaporation, you know, but it is a factor that the cars do just disappear. Now, not fully, but there is a substantial reduction in the, because people will say, and this is really what the council hopes, people will say, God, it's such a hassle to take my car into town or through town, and I don't really have to. I'll get on the bus. And the hope is that people who might say, oh, but the bus is, you know, inconvenient, the bus is slow, the bus doesn't come, that that will improve dramatically, because the bus is no longer stuck in traffic on the quays. So the bus will become a preferable mode of transport to use.
Now, I saw that there was a public consultation process about this and people can go and through in public meetings, I'm assuming, and you can write in and so on to put your tuppence halfpenny worth. And there would be a lot of vested interests who would do that.
Yeah.
Not just Diageo, it would be just people on roads worried that there'd be big trucks suddenly diverted and passing their houses. But I just saw there that only 3,592 submissions were received.
Don't say only there, Bernice.
On
the climate change plan, there were 80 submissions. This is one of the highest level submissions council has ever got on anything. On the whole development plan for the whole city, there were only 4,000 submissions.
Okay, I'll take it back. This seems shocking
actually,
to me.
Yeah, no, it is. But people, yeah, don't pay attention to things unless they are concerned.
I mean, Lifeline
would
have got
them.
More calls about that, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd say you're probably right. But yeah, no, for the council are delighted with this. This is a high level of submissions. But yeah, there's some people who aren't happy with the way that consultation went because people felt, oh, it's favouring people who use online processes. But it was also in public libraries and, you know, in the council's offices, and the council did receive and was welcoming submissions by phone and by letter as well, if people wanted to do that. So there was that process. But I think I should make one thing clear. It was the council, it was what they call a non-statutory public consultation, in that the council is inviting your submissions, but they had no actual requirement to do this public consultation. This is not a councillor's plan. This is a council official's plan. It's the council officials who decide whether there's going to be a no right turn coming in. Now, there are measures in the plan, like the plaza at College Green, like a possible plaza in front of the Customs House, another one maybe at the back of Trinity. Those sorts of measures, because they involve construction and they're far more involved, they will go through a process, a planning process essentially. So the councillors then will decide on those sorts of measures. But these sort of traffic management measures, which include those two bus gates on the quays and also a ban on a left turn from Westland Row into Pier Street, which is also going to come in at the same time in August, those sorts of measures are just done by the officials.
Well, now motorists are certainly a section of motorists always feel aggrieved when private cars are taken out of the city. And they'll be vocal about this. They'll think this is another attack on the motorist. We pay loads of road tax.
why aren't we allowed to use our cars in the city? So that will be the yeah. line there. What has been the response from cyclists? Because does this impact on cyclists? For me, I would not cycle down the quays. I've always felt it's the most dangerous part of the city to cycle through, even though I know it's improved enormously over the years.
Yeah.
But tell me, what is the impact on cyclists?
It will allow the council to put in segregated cycle paths on the quays. Now, they have them on, you know, pretty much all of the North Quays, but there's always been that pinch point at the South Quays, particularly around Aston Quay and then further down near the Parliament Street end of the Quays, where because there's been a bus lane and a car lane, there isn't enough room to put in a cycle lane as well. Now, this will change that and it will allow them to put in a segregated cycle lane. And that's segregated, that's segregated from buses, which will be the really important thing if the cars are gone. And I think that will encourage a lot more people to use the quays then. And just when you're talking about in relation to motorists and the, you know, poor beleaguered motorist and they're hard done by, all this is really for motorists, if they think about it, is inconvenience. There are no bridges across the quays. You'll still be able to cross every bridge you can currently drive a car across. After this plan comes in, you'll still be able to do that. What the council is saying, and it's not banning anyone from coming into town, as I said at the start, what they want to get rid of are the people who are using it as a rat run rather than, or as one the head of traffic described it the other day, a watery dual carriageway. They want to end that. So people who want to get into town, they're still very welcome in town. You know, their access to town will not be ended. What it will change is, if you want to cross town, you may have to use a more circuitous route than you're currently using. You're talking a matter of minutes of inconvenience. And if you think of the lives of people, it's going to improve. As you say, cyclists there, bus users dramatically, even more than cyclists, bus users will have far more reliable times into town. It'll make that, you know, a far more viable prospect for people who had previously thought, oh, I won't get the bus because I'm worried about delays.
Coming up, how City Chief Richard Shakespeare warns we have to wake up to climate change.
This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, creating a more friction-free office. Made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
Well, now we don't have an elected mayor of Dublin, of course. The city is headed up, if you like, by the chief executive of Dublin City Council. And there's a new person in the job, Richard Shakespeare. Now, these traffic ideas, I suppose, were created before he came into office. He's just in. You interviewed him last week for the Irish Times. Did you get a sense of a new or more ambitious traffic regime from him?
Well, you'd have to say his predecessor was also very, very strong on this plan and very strong. And motorists would give out about Owen Keegan the whole time,
that
saying
was
he was anti-car.
Mm.
That's the previous chief executive. I think motorists might have been hoping for or their lobby groups might have been hoping for a more receptive ear in Richard Shakespeare, but he's made it clear they're not getting it. He was very strong in that interview with me in saying that people have to wake up, particularly to the climate change issue, and have to understand that they may have to sustain minor inconveniences so we can meet our climate goals. And he said, if that means I am making life more difficult for motorists, well, then that's what I'll do. That's a direct quote from him.
And of course, another section of society this will impact is people who have disabilities, people who rely on being taken perhaps door to door, rely on a car, their own private car perhaps, or somebody's private car dropping them off on their door. So if you live in Bachelor's Walk, for example, what's going to happen now? There's no private car is going to be able to drop you off there.
Well, this was an issue that was raised at the council meeting the other night, and the council officials have agreed to meet with disability groups. Again, they have invited submissions for them, but to meet with them and talk with them over the next few months about how this might affect them. But if you think about it, say the example you gave is someone living in Bachelor's Walk, well, you can't actually park in front of those apartments in Bachelor's Walk. So you would have to be going elsewhere.
You can't.
Yeah, currently.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Currently, you can't do that. You can't park on the quays there. So you would have to be driving to elsewhere and then having some method of going to your apartment. I'm not going to go as far as say it's a non-issue, but there are already restrictions on you in where you can drive and where you can park. So basically, we have disability parking permits, and all they allow you to do is park in disability parking permit spots or park in any parking spot for free. Yeah, you can do that for free. That's what that entitles you to.
So how these new bus gates may impact people with a disability was brought up, as you say, at the council meeting there a couple of days ago. Do you now expect that there will be pushback from disability lobby groups?
Well, they were the people who had, they had written to some councillors. So they were, and it's very, I think it's only one group. I think other groups have made it clear that they support this. So I think if the council can meet with the group that wrote in and maybe iron out some of their concerns, I think that might make a difference.
Okay, now without trying to turn you into a talking Google map here, but let's say I was going from, you mentioned Pier Street there, and that then started red alerts in my head, because I use Pier Street because that's how I cross the city. I cross the city from south side to north side via Pier Street. Mm-hmm. Will I still be able to do that?
Yes, you will. So, you know, it depends on what point in the south side you're coming from. But yeah, the access to Pier Street, what they're changing is when you come down Westland Row, you can no longer turn left. And that's to stop more cars coming into the city. Because if you think about your left-hand turn, where that brings you up to is, brings you up to Tara Street. And then you're really in the thick of it. So they're going to create a new two-way section. So you turn right instead. And you can, you know, access the other bridges, such as the Samuel Beckett Bridge.
Which is a disaster.
Okay. But would you say O'Connor Bridge is not a disaster?
Well,
so what do you take?
I take the, what is the name of that bridge there? Tara Street. What bridge? Gardner Street?
Yeah, no problem to you. No problem to you.
Okay.
So you've come down onto the
quays.
I feel
like one of these people giving out about private cars.
And I now feel like Joe Duffy, but I can put the world to rights. So yeah, basically you can still do that. So what you will do is,
for example, can I ask you, when Dublin City Council were looking at that turn from Westland Row, that you can't now turn left to go in the direction of Tara Street, you can't do that, you have to turn right. Did they, for example, count the number of cars and think, look, this will not impact a huge number of people? Do they do that?
They do. Everything is engineered to the nth degree, because it used to be in the past and it used to cause problems. But yeah, they have their cameras. They also walk these streets. They people out measuring things the whole time. They're very, very careful to get those sorts of things right. And they really do have a great engineering team there. So yes, you'll still be able to, you come down. If you decide you're driving all the way into the city centre to go over to the north side, you go down Westland Row, you take a right, you take a left to bring you down to the quays. And then yes, you can still at Tara Street cross the river there after you've gone under the Loop Line Bridge and cross the river and go up Gardner Street and do whatever you want. Now, Gardner Street is another thing that they're really hoping to improve. There'll be no traffic bans or anything like that on Gardner Street, but they're kind of thinking that Gardner Street is at the moment a very hostile, very wide road. And what they'd like to do is put in a little bit more greenery and segregated cycle paths either side on Grafton Street, just to make that a little bit nicer, a little bit less awful, I'd go as far as to say. And the same thing with Tara Street, which is again a very wide four-lane highway, and they'd like to narrow that and again put in cycle paths either side and a few old trees, maybe make it a bit nicer.
Livia, I honestly think you should set up yourself a helpline in the first week of August, so people can say, I need to do this, I need to do that, and then you can calmly reassure them that everything's going to be okay.
Maybe.
Anyway, Livia Kelly, thanks very much. That's it for today. For more Dublin reports from Olivia Kelly, subscribe at irishtimes.com/subscribe. I'm Bernice Harrison. This episode was produced by Aideen Finnegan. In the news, we'll be back tomorrow.